on Good Night of Shabbos. Parshas Vayishlach. Tonight, through the Parsha, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayishlach, I would like to share with you something very personal. Those of us might vividly remember about a year and a half ago when Lenny White, Zatzal, donated his second Sefer Torah. The Kehillah wanted something special. My Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, who passed away this week, Evel Yomeir Ben Rafal Baruch, who was always there to do anything for any of his Talmidim. And I asked him, it was an off Shabbos in the Yeshiva. Had it not been an off Shabbos in the Yeshiva, I wouldn't have even asked him, as he never left Yeshiva, no matter how sick he was. But it was an off Shabbos in the Yeshiva, and I asked him, could you come be Mechazek Har Kehillah? And he made the trip, very ill, very weak. He made the trip, he danced with us, and for those of you that were fortunate enough, you stayed and you heard him speak after the dancing. So on a very personal level, many of you got to see and hear my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Elyahu Meir Sorotkin, Zecher Tzadik L'Kadosh L'Brach. Not even a week ago, Friday, an hour before Shabbos, my Rosh Yeshiva, after a 7-year battle with the dreaded illness, his neshama parted from his guf. And I want to share with you that this is not a personal loss that I lost, or maybe perhaps indirectly our Kehillah lost, but it's a Klal Yisrael lost. A friend of mine from Baltimore called me Sunday night, and he tells me, do you know Rabbi Sorotkin, whose Levaya was today? And I said, yes, he's my Rebbe. What makes you ask? He said on the Baltimore Jewish website, someone streamed live the Levaya, the 4.5-hour Levaya of Meir Yeshiva. And he said never in his life did he hear such bitter crying and wailing. Never. He was so intrigued by the wailing and the bitterness that he Googled Meir Yeshiva. And he Googled Meir Yeshiva, my father's Zatzal name came up, as my father had the schus to partner with Rosh Yeshiva and build his yeshiva in Springfield. And he says, tell me, why were so many people crying? I want you to know, people hung up the phone because they couldn't deal with the crying that was going on. Thousands of Talmidim were crying like children. Members of the Springfield community, the North Plainfield community, non-religious Jews, religious Jews, yeshivalite, everyone. And I want to understand, how did this magnet, multifaceted rabbi, Rav, Rosh Yeshiva, who lived in a small little town in New Jersey, inspire a world? So I want to tell you how I ended up in this man's yeshiva, or how I ended up this chus. My father, Alva Shalom, worked in Short Hills, New Jersey. And the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal had his yeshiva in Springfield, New Jersey. My father, never wanting to miss a tefillah b'tzibur, went to daven mincha in the yeshiva after shir every day. Right after shir, there was a mincha. And my father would come for mincha. Many times the yeshiva shir would go overtime, and my father ended up seeing the last few minutes of shir. My father was so intrigued by the shine on the yeshiva's face, and the passion and the enthusiasm of his shir, and the Bachram, their faces glowing when they were basking in his glory. It was like a magic that he would sit and intentionally come a few minutes before the shir and peer in the window and just watch the delight that the Rosh Hashiva was having, and the Bachurim were having that joy. And my father would say, I had no idea what was going on in the Shir. I wasn't learning that Gemara. They were learning it very in depth, but I was just enjoying every moment. My father got so attracted to Torah by this man, by this giant, I should say, that my father ended up at the age of 50, semi-retired, and spent his whole morning learning every day because of the contact he was with this person. The magic, the energy this person gave over inspired someone like my father, who is a wonderful working class Jew, who learned his Daf Yomi every day, to learn half a day, and then to the very last day of my father's life, he spent most of his day learning. What drove my father and many others and his Talmidim? So I'm going to give you one example, if I may. The Rosh Yeshiva, when my father met him, had the whole yeshiva housed in one building, a small building. 25 Talmidim in a building. The Rosh Yeshiva and his family of 6 or 7 children lived in one small room. That was the family bedroom. That was the kitchen. That was the dining room. That was the playroom for the kids. And his kids are the happiest people. Never felt cheated. Never felt sacrificed. Why? There was such joy in his learning Torah, in his dedication to Torah. His kids had nothing. They lived in a city without neighbors. They were the only Orthodox family in North Plainfield, New Jersey. I think there wasn't even a shul. And nothing. His kids had no... They lived on the joy and the enthusiasm. And perhaps even more, the Mesiras Nefesh. They woke up every morning. Their mother, Rebbetzin Sorotskin, may she live and be well, may Hashem give her a nechama, drove her family every single day, a 45-minute drive into Brooklyn, to drop them off in yeshiva, in schools, because there was nothing. She came back home. She cooked lunch and supper for the Bachurim, went back to Brooklyn to pick up her kids, came back, shopped, and this was a daily routine. The kids spent their days in cars. She spent her days in cars. There was nothing more that Rebbetzin wanted or the kids wanted to do, more than sacrifice for Torah and give Torah. This was the magic. We need to understand what this is. When children see such sacrifice, you would look at these children of the Rosh Yeshiva with such joy, and you would never know that they're living in this. Today, they lived in North Plainfield in these small little apartments. Literally, there was a small strip with like 1 or 2 bedroom apartments. They got like 2 or 3 of them. It wasn't even a house, like little apartments. Nothing. The happiest people. What can drive children to be so happy with so little physical? What can drive a woman like the Rebbetzin to have nothing in her life besides taking care of the yeshiva is when you see genuine Mesiras Nefesh. When the Rebbetzin saw the Rosh Yeshiva put in those hours of learning and transcend this world with none of his own personal desires, just connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it drove the family to follow suit, and it drove the thousands of Talmidim. Till today, people make fun of me here in Shul. Not make fun is the wrong word, and they'll say, Rabbi Halperin, how come Torah, Shiurim, that's the only thing that nothing else excites you, but you measure success by how many people learn, and old comments like that, which is true. I attribute every single drop of that to my Rosh Yeshiva. For those years that I ate and drank and slept in his yeshiva, all we heard and saw was Torah, Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. He transcended the world. And I want to just share with you a quick connection to this week's parasha. It says in the parasha that Yaakov Avinu kibbe makli avati es hayarden. He crossed with a stick. And Rashi brings a medrash. What does it mean he crossed with a stick? Says Rashi, he split the Yarden with his stick. What's the significance of that stick? That he was able to split the Yarden. So the Panei Achraza tells us the secret behind this stick. You want to know? He asks, we see Yaakov Avinu poured oil on these stones. Where did he have oil from? Says the Panei Achraza, Yaakov Avinu knew he's going to be in Galus, in exile. And he knew he's not going to be able to learn. So Yaakov took his stick and he hollowed it out and he filled it up with oil. And whenever he got near oil, he filled up his stick again so he could learn nights. That stick was the testament to Yaakov Avinu's Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. That stick was Yaakov Avinu learning Torah when he was running in the dark. His life was being chased and he learned and he learned. That stick was able to split the Yarden. As the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says in Parshas Yisro, that Rav Pinchas ben Yair gets to the river. The river doesn't want to split. One of the great Tanoim. And he says, because Rami was the Kayach of Torah, you need to split. Because there's nothing in the world like Torah. And the schus of my learning Torah split and the water split. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, when a person toils in Torah and he transcends this world, he breaks nature. Nature is broken. And he can demand everything. This is how tzaddikim daven and give brachas and things happen. This is the secret behind the stick of Yaakov Avinu. My Rosh Hashiva, the last few years of his life, cannot talk about his whole life. My Rosh Hashiva went through pain that's indescribable. He came back from chemotherapy. He went straight to yeshiva to say shir. No stop. Straight. He was being hounded with pain, with appointments. He sat there. He used to take his notebook to yeshiva, to the hospital, and from the hospital bed, he would prepare shir and say shir. This was that stick that he filled up with oil for when it's dark and he's running. This was Yaakov Avinu's life. My Rosh Hashiva's last few years, actually his whole life, when he was living alone in a town, he was running with that stick with light. And because of that, that dedication, that Mesiras Nefesh, his family just did whatever they could for Torah. Perhaps one practical lesson that I'd like everyone here to share. We're all asked at times to be Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. No one's asking you to move out to North Plainfield, New Jersey, where there's not a single Orthodox family other than you and your family. And no one's asking you to drive your children in or to cook food for 40, 50, 80, 90, over 100 bachurim in yeshiva. The Rebbe, until today, cooks the meals for these bachurim. Because that's her mission in life and wouldn't get a cook. We're not asking for that. But we are asking, remember, this was a man who inspired, when he lived in Springfield, New Jersey, there were many Jews who were not part of his community, as we'll call it, barely religious. And he started saying a shir for them. These people were mesmerized by the man. To the point, it was a Sunday night shir. And it was Super Bowl Sunday. And my Rosh Yeshiva was expecting the cancellation. Because the people told him. My Rosh Yeshiva said, I'm not canceling a shir for the Super Bowl. I heard this from Rabbi Marcus, the Rav of Springfield, New Jersey. He said, you won't believe it. Every single person showed up. These were diehard football fans. And Rabbi Marcus said, I asked him, like, what happened? He said, do you see this man? His love, his passion, his dedication? You think we would not want to come to him and say we gave this up for a football game? Imagine this man gave up everything in his life, his neighbors, his family, for the same man that inspired my father who watched in the window at his shiurim, inspired these Jews who would not give up this shir for a Super Bowl. And he inspired hundreds of Talmidim, who sat there on Sunday bawling, who dedicated, and they and their wives were dedicated to Torah. There's so many lessons, but if we could just work out with one lesson. When our kids see how dedicated we are, they will be equally dedicated. When you really don't want your husband to go out to the shir, you really don't want. You really don't want him to go out to the davening now. You really need his help. And you work on yourself. One example. We're not talking to the men. You're tired in the morning. You don't want to. This, that. If your kids, not speeches. Our yeshiva didn't give his kids speeches. He just gave up every personal luxury for Torah. His kids are one after the other at Levaya. Just you hear their mad love with Torah and their father. who you can argue maybe didn't give them all the physical desires in the world, but they were the luckiest children. They were wailing and crying about the love for Hashem and Torah that their father gave them. And Yibar L'chaim Torah their mother gave them. Each and every one described in their own way how all they saw in their parents was the love for Hashem. Not by speeches. Perhaps we can all think in our own little lives about a little sacrifice we could make as in merit of the gaping loss of probably the most meiser nefesh person I can think of in my mind for Torah. He gave up everything for Torah. He got no paycheck from the yeshiva, nothing. He didn't have a house. He lived in the yeshiva in a little apartment because he doesn't want to take from the yeshiva anything. His wife cooked, didn't take a penny from the yeshiva, nothing. Selfless, dedicated to Torah. And then you look at his beautiful family. Kanayin are a huge family. Each and every one of them are so dedicated. Talmidim, thousands, balabatim, community members, not religious Jews yet, who are love Torah. They don't know what Torah is or what it's about, but they know that this man thinks it's the most important thing. So perhaps every one of us will take a little bit of a Monsieur Snafish for Torah. Remember Yaakov Avinu in this week's parasha, fills up his stick with oil. So when it gets dark and cold, he's going to be able to learn. No one's chasing us in the dark. No one's chasing us in the cold. But we're tired after a day's learning. We're tired. Push yourself that little bit, as Yaakov Avinu did. As my Rosh Yeshiva, HaGoyin HaGodler, Eliyomei, Sirotskin, Zeh, Kadosh did. There's a gaping loss of people sacrificing for Torah this week in the world. Let's fill that hole. Please, I hope to continue sharing with you the inspiration that he inspired me. I will find other opportunities to share with you the most amazing stories of his life. But we're out of time, but I will have that opportunity in the future. Because Baruch Hu should give his family, man, he was only 62 years old. He started being a Roshiva at about 25, so he was a Roshiva for almost 40 years. Young man, with an amazing life ahead, we thought. For Kodesh Baruch Hu had other plans, but he will continue to inspire through his Talmidim. And again, I ask us all, think about what people are sacrificing for Hashem and the impact it had on their community and their families. Every one of us can do that for our community and for our family. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos.